welcome to Awake to Oneness Radio. I am Caroline Chang, your host. The mission of Awake to Oneness Radio is to inspire the world to awaken to the universal truth of oneness. Science is now teaching us that everything is energy, and that energy is interconnected and interdependent. In essence, that energy is one thing. Now, ancient wisdom and spirituality has been teaching the truth of oneness for eons. However, science is kind of new to it, but it's not that new. Quantum physics has been teaching the truth of oneness now for over 100 years. So this is something that should be mainstream, the understanding that we are all interconnected and interdependent. What you do to another person, you are literally doing to another aspect of yourself. And when mankind awakens to the universal truth of oneness, there will be peace on earth. Today's show topic is After the Darkness with Candace Nadine Breen. Candace, thank you and welcome to Awake to Oneness Radio.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. Yes, we actually got a chance to meet several months ago when I was producing for Extraordinary Experiences. Yes. Yes. That's how we got to meet. Yes. And I said, oh, I must have you on my show. So please, Candace, can you share with our listeners your journey and how you came to do the wonderful work you're doing? I know you're a speaker, you're an author, you're doing some amazing work. Please share with our listeners your journey.
Well, yes, I've narrowed it down to three hats that I wear. Okay. Speaker, author, artist, and mystic. So that sort of sums me all up. Okay. But it began in childhood. I mean, I was born, first of all, I come from a long line of people with abilities, mm-hmm. You can call them psychic abilities, spiritual, mystic. I love the word mystic because
yes.
Everything. So mystic abilities. And when I was a child, I just had them and I thought they were normal because that's all I knew.
Okay.
Unfortunately, my parents used their abilities to sort of get at each other, which was using it negative.
Right.
And somehow I came out of it without being negative.
Good.
and I thought that since it was just me, I would be able to share it with my peers, which was a mistake because I became ostracized and called witch and different names and all things like that. And it took me some years of trial and error. I tried to fit myself in boxes of different religions because that's what I thought was normal. Until mm-hmm. I kept finding out that it's not for me. And then maybe some years ago, I met a person who was actually a shaman. And I don't know, she helped me go back and collect the pieces of my soul, of all the little other worldly beings that had pieces of my soul. And then I collected that back to myself, it's sort of like I came back to where I started.
Right.
And then there was just this explosion of support from the universe. Different people, spirits were appearing to me, different entities were appearing to me and encouraging me in my dreams and in my awakenings, and I'd see them and meet them. And then I said, I'm not going back. I'm going, this is it. And I sort of came out, so to speak, out. Yes, I was called names again and things like that, but I met other people who were in the same boat, and that strength and that support is what propelled me forward.
Right.
Yes. So today, and I apologize, one of my cats just climbed up on the table.
That's okay.
He doesn't let me talk. I can't even talk.
He's welcome.
Yeah, he is. He's sitting over there. And the other one's going to come sooner or later, but there they are. Okay. Bother me.
That's fine. So go ahead. You were saying, yes.
Yeah, so, and when I started writing and talking about my experiences and my journeys and growing mm-hmm. in it, all of a sudden the universe put in my path all of these synchronicities.
Yes.
Synchronicities, people, events, these, and it just made me stronger. And I was told by one of the ascended masters who continues to speak to me. Mm-hmm. His name is Master Gui. Master Gui. Okay. He speaks to me quite a lot. And he once told me that this is what you're supposed to be doing. Okay. And they just guided me, guided me. And that's how I ended up to where I am today. And I just, you know, not off a tangent, but this is so interesting. I was at an art show. I was wearing my artist hat at this show.
Okay.
And this girl who had to be about 15, I wasn't wearing my mystic hat, none of that stuff, but she just came up to me and started talking about her psychic abilities, saying, you know, I have this ability and I don't know what to do with it. And my parents are Catholic and they don't like this and blah, blah, blah. And we just had the longest conversation and it was so wonderful. I needed to be there to help her.
Yes. Yes.
Help her come along. And there's so many people awakening and to the truths of the universe.
Yes.
And it's beautiful to see.
Yes.
And people like me, people like you, we're also out there helping people with what we do and spreading the word and saying it's okay. And we need you. We need you. So that's my journey. And every day is a new thing. And I love waking up and finding out who's going to talk to me next.
Yes.
So it's a great journey.
She was drawn to you, even though you weren't quote unquote wearing your mystic hat, but her energy, it's all energy. And so her energy was drawn to yours because that was, and everything is synchronistic. I know every moment is a synchronicity. We just have to open our eyes to see those.
That's right.
Synchronicities.
Yeah. That's right. And you know that we all have these abilities to be in touch with the universe, to be one with the universe, but some of us choose to ignore it. Yes. And what happens when we ignore it is it just stays there and we never realize anything. I mean, there's so many people who say, oh, that's hogwash, that's baloney, and they don't realize it.
Right.
Another event I was asked recently to, which was such an honor. I'm a part of an artist group and I was asked to do a show and I said, sure. But then they said, oh, you do intuitive readings too. And I said, yeah, I do. You know, I have mediumship abilities, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So they asked me to do a gallery, which when people come in, one right after the other, they pre-register, then they come in and I'm just sitting there. I'm already in trance and everything. Intuitive readings take a lot of energy out of me because when I'm in tune, I'm in tune. I allow spirits to utilize me so I can talk.
Yes.
And I know some people went away who were once skeptical, went away believing. There were tears. There were, how did you know that? Things like that. And I have no way of knowing. I don't even remember what happens.
Right.
So things like that also caused more people to awaken. Now those people who went away after and who became believers, they went away and some of them, who knows what happened, they could have started their own journey, their own journey back to oneness, to unity and everything. There's little things like that we, and I love what you said in the intro, everything we do affects ourselves, ultimately affects someone else, which in turn affects us.
Exactly. And that connection, because they're actually in, others are an extension of us. You know, we, from our human, limited human senses, everything looks separate. But in truth, everything is connected. Yes.
Yes. And that is so amazing. Yes. That to me, it seems like common sense. Yeah. But
I love that you said that because honestly, I love that you said that because when I awakened, and it was science actually that woke me up, and when I quantum physics, and when I got it, and I didn't get it here, I got it here in the heart, in the soul. And when I got it, I'm like, this is a no-brainer,
Yes, it seems like it's common sense. I'm like, why doesn't everyone else know this?
Yes,
but. Because it's common sense to us, they have blinders on. Yes. You know, they have blinders on and they don't want to see, because again, when I was public many years ago, I taught right out of college. I was 11 years.
On my end, your video froze for a second. Back up one sentence. We missed the first part.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
When I was many moons ago, I was a high school teacher. A public school teacher. I taught seventh grade and then I taught ninth grade. Mm-hmm. I was right out of college. I taught for 11 years.
Okay.
So, and I remember in that environment with my colleagues, I was not as free as mm-hmm. I am now. Right. It was like I was wearing a mask. I mean, there's a wonderful poem, I think it was Shakespeare or something, that says, talks about we wear the mask.
Yes.
And that's and that's what I did. I wore a mask to fit in that box. I was a very good teacher. I knew my stuff.
Right.
I had the respect of my students and things like that. But on the inside, I would go home and I'd feel like something is missing. Mm. I just felt so, I felt that I couldn't wrap my head around what it was that mm-hmm. that I was, it just felt off balance all the time. Mm-hmm. That was because I was not being true to the oneness, to myself. I was being someone who I wasn't.
Yes.
And it made me so miserable.
Yes.
I mean, I should have been happy. I was making great money. I was single back then. I didn't have children. I had a house and all that.
Right. And, I hear what you're saying. Yes.
And I should have been, but I wasn't. Because I couldn't be myself.
Yes.
And I mean, I was well dressed, and I had my makeup and things to a T. I'm telling you all of that. But it was a cover. It was hiding who I am. Sorry, did my cat again. It was hiding who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left teaching, there was a period of time when I was just saying to myself, "Oh my goodness, I felt. What am I gonna do? What am I going to do?"
Right.
And do you know, I started going out for walks and things like that. And I heard the birds. I actually saw things that I never noticed all those years when I was teaching. I said, "Oh my goodness, I hear birds. There's trees." And it started affecting me. I started, you know, taking it in. And I became so different. So mm-hmm. much. Now I'm free. That's the word I like to be, free. And it is after the darkness that, you know, after those years where I was miserable.
Yes.
And, you know, I had such a long journey with, you know, rough childhood and all those things as well. And being able to shed that and look, my eyes just opened.
Mm-hmm.
Just opened. Not only my eyes, but my visible eyes, but my third eye.
Yes.
And my heart. And I could feel, and I could see, and I was, all of a sudden, beings were speaking to me, because I was open now. I didn't have all that clog of the hustle and bustle of the material world out there.
Right. Yes, I understand when our soul, you know, it has a desire and a yearning to express itself, no matter, like what you were saying, no matter what you're doing, you're not gonna feel good. You're not gonna come home and like, because your soul came here for a reason. Because we're not these flesh and bones.
Exactly,
we are our soul.
Yes,
a human experience.
Right,
and we came for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so when our soul is not, when we're not doing what our soul came to do, we won't feel comfortable until we start doing that. Yeah.
And let me tell you, I got messages all along the way from strangers, from whatever. And I talk about that in one of my books, Born Different. I talk about a lot of my spiritual experiences along mm-hmm. my journey here.
Yes.
And I recall one, I was in a post office and my daughter, my oldest child, she was in a little carrier and I was mm-hmm. carrying her in the little neighborhood post office.
Right.
And I was going to mail something away to my grandmother. And this woman in the front, she was an elderly woman. Mm-hmm. And she had, you know, white hair. And she turned around. I mean, I was, you know, where you fill out the little postage thing at one of the tables. That's what I was doing. And she was in line. She turned around and she said to me, I see a light about your head. You're going to be used for something.
Yes.
And I said, okay. Thank you. And she walked out. I didn't even know who this lady was. And and I know that was a higher being.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And she, I didn't see her in the parking lot. I looked out, I turned around back to the table, and the parking lot was small.
Right.
Nope, she wasn't there.
She was gone. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah.
And there were many, many messages to try to, like, come on, Candace, come on. Yes. We have a mission for you. When you're going to wake up? And that's what, I mean, I've had a lot of those, because there was a while that I resisted because I was afraid of ridicule.
Right.
Having come from, you know, that time when I was a child and I opened my mouth to say, hey, look at all these things that I can see and do. And then being all of a sudden, oh, you're not supposed to say those things.
Yes. Yes.
Because people think you're weird. They want to lock you up in some institution or whatever. Right. Although in my family, it was common.
Okay.
It was common. My father had abilities. My mother did. But they came from voodoo.
Okay.
From West Africa, because my father's people were the people aboard the Clotilda that were the last slave ship brought here from West Africa.
Okay.
Illegally in Mobile Bay, and his people, well, his family, it was his uncle, they founded Africatown in Alabama.
Okay.
Well, with them, they brought their culture and their customs. Okay. And unfortunately, some of them used it for darkness. So they turned voodoo into something that it's awful, that the stereotypical voodoo that when people think of it today, you know, the chicken bones and things like that. So he and my mother, all they did was just use that against each other.
Mm, okay.
And when I was a kid, I saw things, dark things in our house.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't afraid.
Okay, good.
I wasn't afraid because I guess that I don't know why I wasn't afraid. Mm-hmm. I should have been scared out of my mind, but I wasn't. And I was a little kid.
Right.
But from an early age, I had exposure to that, and that's what I knew.
Mm-hmm. Probably, I'm just saying, I don't think you were afraid because as a child, you knew that you were of the light and that couldn't harm you, you know, because everything is vibration. And yeah, there are, at a lower vibration, there are lower energy entities. But we know, and from children are born more awake, and we kind of, adults kind of squish it out. But as a child, you instinctively knew you were the light and that couldn't harm you.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, like, I feel that childlike wonder again, now that I'm sort of out and exposed, my eyes are like saucer eyes, I like to think, like a child.
Yes.
And I feel like there's fairies and there's, I feel that childness again.
Yes, yes.
But without, without the darkness. I mean, I've come into some very dark entities but I'm old enough to recognize them now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not, you're not scaring me.
Right.
And I'm not going down that hole with you.
Right. And the only thing that gives them power is our fear.
That is right.
They have no power without fear, without our fear. We show no fear and we keep our vibration high. They're powerless to,
Speaking of that, that just came to, just reminded me of Harry Potter and saying Voldemort. And my son asked me, we're reading the Harry Potter series.
Yes.
So we're on book 3, but personally I'm on book 5 because I've read all them.
Okay.
But my son asked me, because they're curious about all this because they have their own abilities too. And I don't hide it. I don't hide it. So my son said, why can't you say Voldemort? I said, you can say Voldemort, but you know, being afraid to say it gives that power to the dark entity.
Yes.
And it takes your power away.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and then I use it for examples like bullies or negative energy. And I tell them, I speak to them in those terms. I mean, my son's 8, my daughter's 11, but they understand more than we adults who are stuck in the material world Yes. All right. And I'm not going to crush them. We should not crush them or stick them in a box. That's why I love this time that we're in.
Yes. Yes. Oh, it's an amazing time.
So many. Hi.
Hi, Kitty.
Hi. His name is Bono.
Yes. Well, when you were talking about the energy, also, it reminds me of, like I said, everything is energy. Right. And back in 2001, after 9/11, I got a sense from within, in a loud voice, in that, like, it wasn't outside of me, it was inside of me, said, turn off that news and don't ever turn it back on. Now, this is this is September of 2001. And I didn't know why. I wasn't awakened to oneness at that time. Right. So but I was obedient. Right. I was cleaning my bedroom, was making up my bed, the news was on in the background. Inside me said, turn off that news and don't ever turn it back on. Mm-hmm. And I even said aloud, audibly, why? I did. I'm like, why? And I didn't get an answer, but I did go over to the TV, turn off the news. I have not watched news since. But and I found out many years later, the reason why I was instructed to do that was because only thing that was coming from that news was low vibration.
Yes.
And it was keeping my vibration low. Yes. And so when you turn off that mainstream news, and that's actually, I studied journalism in school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And if it bleeds, it leads. So that's, it's deliberate. there is as much good news out there as bad, you know, but they don't want you to hear the good news. They only want you to hear the bad news.
And that's right, because that's what sells, you know.
It keeps our vibration low. Mm-hmm. It keeps us in a state of fear.
Yeah.
In a state of fear, that's where we as a collective, we're handing over our power because we're staying in a state of fear.
And it's interesting that you say fear, because I mean, that's what you get. That's what's coming out of this stuff is fear. Fear of earthquakes and natural disasters, fear of the other, fear of anyone who's different. Yes. And when we fear things, when they fear things, they demonize things. Mm-hmm. They demonize what they don't fear. And that prohibits them from ever getting up, from rising their vibrations, because they're stuck in this fear lowers your vibration.
Exactly.
And when we're afraid, we demonize things, which makes it even more fearful.
Exactly.
And then we don't get ahead. I mean, there are people who they call me witch. You know, they say things, they say horrible things about me. They're afraid of me because they don't understand.
Right.
And it's sad because I know some actually, they're sad because they are stuck in that low vibration. They could experience so much more, but they're not waking up.
Right.
Then they refuse to because they don't understand.
Right.
And that's the hard thing. Those people who don't understand, who refuse to awaken, it's hurting all of us.
Right. Yeah, because we're connected. And I did have to learn, because when I woke up, I was like, my first thought, who can't, this is a no-brainer. Everybody should get this. But then when I tried to share it, you know, this was in 2007, I just tried to go out and share it with all my friends who were mostly fundamental Christians.
Oh, good. Great.
and they were like, huh, you know, and again, I get that from my friends that are still fundamental Christians.
Oh, yeah.
They pray for me, you know, I've lost my way, all that. But then, you know, then spirit let me know they're exactly where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's all good. You know, it's all God, and everybody's on their unique path and journey, and where they are is where they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And all I can do is just love them, shine light on them and love them. So,
And it's interesting. You say fundamental. when I was doing my spiritual journey, trying to find, fighting against my natural self, and trying to fit in what society wanted me to do, one of my places that I landed up was in a big Black Baptist church.
Okay.
And I love to sing.
So oh my God, the music is great.
Yeah. I love to sing. So I was in three choirs and I worked my way up to be one of the lead altos. I loved it and I sang. It just came from, I didn't care what the words were saying. I just wanted to sing.
Yes.
But very spirit revealed to me that, okay, your time here is up. I had to learn something there, which I did learn something. And it was good that I was exposed there, but that was not my place for me.
Yes.
And the thing that...
I went through a similar experience, not singing. I worked very closely with the choir and the musicians because I became the multimedia. It was very active in a very large, it wasn't a Baptist church, it was a very large Paradise Assemblies of God, which actually when I moved to Pennsylvania, I didn't know Assemblies of God was actually a denomination.
Yeah.
Non-denominational church, but then I found out later Assemblies of God is actually a denomination. I'm like, okay, but it was a large church and I loved the music. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I could listen to the music all day long. And I was working very closely with the musicians and the singers because I was the person that put up the words and graphics and I loved doing that. I learned a lot. While I was there, I was volunteering and I learned a lot, which I use today. I use those multimedia skills today.
Right. But
exactly when it was time, I was there like 10 years. And I was at every single service before service started and after, because I was the one doing all of the technical stuff. Yeah. So I was there like twice a week, all day long. And then when it was time, Spirit's like, no. It's time for you to
and Spirit will give you an out.
I
remember the pastor said to me, because I said he overheard me in a conversation. I was asked to be in a leadership group because I was there all the time.
Right.
So I was part of a leadership group, but I was talking to someone about meditation, and I said, "Well, I meditate every morning," and I did it. I sat, my duplex at the time.
Right.
It had a beautiful woodsy thing, and I would sit at the porch, the sliding glass door where the balcony was, and I would sit on my little rug and I would meditate.
Yes.
And the pastor said, "If you're not meditating on scripture, you're the devil." It's the devil. And I said, "Well, I'm out of here."
Oh my goodness.
And I was, and then I was like, "Well, I guess my time is up." And it was up. And I mean, I love to sing. But it wasn't
right.
Wasn't for me. Yes. And then I went to Catholicism, and that wasn't.
Oh my goodness! The reason I'm laughing is because I never. I was sent to Catholic school from K to five to grade. So I was in Catholic school for 6 years, and that never as a child. What I was being taught in Catholicism did not resonate with me.
Nope.
I could not. But and then I went to, as I got older, I went into the I thought was non-denominational.
Yeah. And all those supposedly non-judgmental friends that I've had, when they backed away at full speed. Once I came out and announced, I'm saying, "This is who I am. I am a mystic. Yes, I talk to spirits and they talk to me. Yes, I can sit and talk with you and have communication with someone on the other side."
Yes.
I am used the way spirit or they use me because I am open.
Yes.
When, my in-laws, had a big eye-open shock. Not my husband. My husband's always been open and, I dreamt of him when Spirit sent me my future when I was 13.
Oh.
It was a very dark time in my life. I was being sexually abused by my father, and I just was suicidal and all of these things. And one night, I remember it vividly. I had a vision of a big blue Nissan Pathfinder, which is actually... my first vehicle as a married woman, that when I had my first child, I had that vehicle, but I didn't know that then.
Okay.
And I didn't know it was a Nissan Pathfinder. I just knew it was a big SUV. And right. in it was a man who was white, who had dark hair. He's like Keanu Reeves, let me tell you. And that was my husband. And I didn't know that. Okay. And my two children, one boy and one girl, and they looked exactly how my children looked when they were a little bit younger.
Okay.
And it was just a vision. It was just a vision.
Okay.
And let me tell you, I that stuck with me. I mean, there were some things that I remembered, some visions that I remember, and that one, it stuck with me.
Yes.
And my husband and I, we've been married 12 years.
Okay.
And I told him after we got married, it just clicked. And I said, do you know, I dreamt of you when I was 13.
Wow.
He didn't believe me at first. Wow. He was like, yeah, okay. And then I said, no, for real, I did. And I went back in my journals because I always kept journals all my life. And there it was.
Yes. Oh, wow.
And that's amazing. Then when, you know, Spirit gave me an opportunity to help my in-laws when my late father-in-law passed away, he came to me. Mm-hmm. He came to me and asked me to help his family through this.
Right.
They were like, oh, she's full of it and stuff. I said, for real? He did.
Yes.
And then they started understanding, because there were things that I was saying and things that I knew that they didn't know how I knew.
Right. Right.
And then when it was time for him to go, you know, I had to ask my husband. I was sort of embarrassed. I said, we got to go to the house where he met, you know, his demise. And I have to tell him to go.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I have the key. Because, you know, I couldn't go when my mother-in-law was there because she'd freak out. So we went when she wasn't there. My husband opened the door. And Spirit guided me because I had never done it before.
Right.
But I was taught.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit guided me and I was taught. So, right. You know, I remember lighting candles and the windows were open. And I remember when it was time for him to go, when he left, and he's like, okay, I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. There was this wind. There was no wind outside, but it was just chill wind. But it was also comforting.
Yes.
That just flew by my face and sort of, you know, rustled the curtains and out the window.
Yes.
Out the window, and he was gone.
Yes.
He had to do something.
Right. Yes.
And, you know, my husband told his brother this.
Mm-hmm.
And which made his brother a believer, because his brother was so doubtful. And I hear just now he was a devout Catholic, and he said, and he finally broke off. He's breaking off with them, because of, you know, all of the stuff that's going on.
Right.
And
right.
he said, you know, Dad always liked Candace because they had a similar background, and she built herself and you know by the. Shoestring, that expression.
Right.
Shoestring.
Right.
He says,
right.
I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that part of him started to open and he started to believe.
Yes.
And I wasn't the weirdo.
Right. Yes. No, yes. That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. But, boy, I identify with what you're saying so much in the sense that, like you said, when I started my show, I launched this show almost 5 years ago after my son's transition. My son's in Spirit. And I was awakened in the middle of the night, but one of a very close friend of mine who was the music director at the church where I volunteered and was so active in for 10 years, he became like one of my best friends. And it was just a platonic relationship. It was just, but he was like a big brother to me.
Yeah.
And he said, when, just before I started this show, I was lining up guests. And one of my guests was a channel. And he's like, I'm done with you. Because I was having a channel on my show. He's like, I am done. And he was like, I am done with you. I was like, what? And then, you know what I said? What are you afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
That just came. What are you afraid of? Mm-hmm. And he didn't respond. He didn't answer. Never to this day answered that question. So
they don't understand. When people don't understand it, they're afraid.
Exactly.
And it's,
exactly.
And they run away. I've lost so many friends, so-called friends.
Yes. But they're like I said, people come in, they might be for a season.
That's right.
You know, they're for a season. But I know that I have to be true to me. Mm-hmm. And producing this show and doing this show is being true to me. Mm-hmm. Sharing the truth that I know, which is oneness, which is a very simple, no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Science is telling us this.
That's right.
Like it was science that woke me up. Spirituality, right. Ancient wisdom, everything.
That's is right. Telling us this. And I like you say ancient wisdom because ancient wisdom is older than all of these religions.
Yes.
I mean, what makes them think that they are the end all to the question, you know, to everything? It is not. And I point that out to a lot of people, especially, I mean, my daughter one time, we had to put her in a private school because she had a year and a half because she had some bullying issues at the public school she was in. Mm-hmm. And but now she's back in a public school, different public school. And let me tell you that, you know, there were fundamentals there. It was a big time fundamental. I said, I'm just going to be quiet for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Don't say anything when I'm there.
Right.
But I mean, the good gracious, the things that were said to me, didn't believe in science. And I said, okay. I mean, they were teaching that the earth wasn't as old as it was and that they were right. And I would point out about, you know, do you know that there are people been practicing things in the mountains and stuff like that long before Christianity, long before all of this stuff.
Right.
And so are they wrong? Yeah. The ancients wrong? Come on. They were more in touch with their natural surroundings than we are. Because there wasn't all this junk filling their minds.
Right.
It wasn't all, and that's what it is. It's all this clutter that fills your mind and drowns out that inner voice. You can't hear it anymore.
Exactly. I love it. I love that I have scientists on this show because there's one scientist, he said, if a person doesn't believe in oneness, their cell phone should be taken away.
Yes.
Because all of today's technology is based on quantum physics.
Yes.
The core of quantum physics is oneness. The core of quantum physics is that everything is interconnected and interdependent.
That is so true.
Yes. And he said if our cell phones, our computers, everything, all of today's technology, if there was no oneness, then we would not have the technology we have. And he says, if they don't believe in it, they shouldn't be allowed to own a cell phone.
Or a computer, or TV, because it's bringing us all together.
Yes.
Bringing us all together and show how we are all connected. Whether we like it or not, we are.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm going to use that actually on someone when they try to tell me something. I'm good. Because, you know, someone's always trying
to. Your phone. You can't have it.
Give me that phone. No,
yeah.
You don't need that phone then.
Yes. That's so true. Because actually, now I'll have to share with you. I did my first talk recently and it was all based on science from an elementary level on how we are all connected. Mm-hmm. And basically, if we depend on our human senses, our sight, our hearing, and science has proven that with our human senses, we can only detect 0.0035% of what is actually around us. So a person that says, I only believe in what I can see, then you're discounting 99.99999% of what is actually around you, because science has proven they've already, what is it called? Dark energy, dark matter, we can't see, which makes up 96% of the universe. Are you kidding me? You can't depend on your limited human senses, but you can quiet the mind, go within, and listen to the higher senses.
You know, that's why people tell some, you hear some people say a lot, go for a walk in the woods.
Yes.
Go for a walk in the woods or the forest.
Yes.
Go.
Yes.
And I personally, I mean, you know, I know, and this is another synchronicity here. My life has been directed.
Yes.
And where I am now, I'm so happy with our home, our home, because there's woods.
Yes.
And I love it. I mean, it's great. and we see all sorts of nature, and my children, our children get to experience that. We're like, let's go outside, and they're in a different world. Yes. They're in a different world. There's deer, there's, you know, all sorts of things.
Yes.
And I'm also a gardener. So I love gardening, and I teach them, I try to teach them that, you know, this pea is alive too. Mm-hmm. And we go in my garden. It's a big garden. I was never able to have a big garden, but a nice big one. Uh-huh. And we go out there, and the kids will be interested in it. Right. And they'll want to learn, and they like to sit there. I'll say, what are you doing in there? And they're just sitting there. They have a stone bench, and my daughter will be sitting there and listening to the birds. Mm-hmm. And just, that is so wonderful. It is so wonderful. And it's the importance of going out in nature, because we are part of nature. This is oneness. We need to go and connect with ourselves, go out there. Yes. Get away from, you know, material stuff. Get away from the mall and go out in the woods. Go out into, even if you don't have woods, go to the park. I mean, it's park. There's, you know, trees and stuff. Go to the park.
Yes.
I enjoy my bike ride on the bike path, the wooded bike path here. I try to do that as regularly as I can when it's not snowing and stuff. Yes. So I do that. And you can feel it. You can actually feel it. Notice how people feel. When I tell people, I have some people who, you know, come to me for advice and things like that, and I always tell them, go outside, go into the woods, go on the bike path, go for this. And they come back to me and they tell me how great they feel. They can't explain it, but they feel different. I said, yeah, you got some connection there, didn't you?
Yes.
Connection to oneness, because we are one with nature.
Yes.
That is our natural thing. We are all connected. I mean, so many people say that. The Buddhists say that. Mm-hmm. The spiritualists say that. The people at Vedanta say that we are all connected.
Yes.
I just wonder why the world at large hasn't realized that.
I think technology
and everything is to bring us back to oneness.
Exactly.
We're connecting with people across the world. And we have planes that will bring us take us across the world to be in contact and community with other people who are different from us, but we are connected. Our souls are all connected.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of, and I'm sorry if I'm going on.
No, Kate, no, you're fine.
Just tell me when I'm up.
No, you're good. You're great.
But for instance, there are a lot of religions that limit us, that say, when you die, that's it. I don't believe that.
Right.
I don't believe that. We have many transitions.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're when our soul leaves our body, we got a couple of things to tie up that we didn't do when we were in our body. So we may take a moment before we get to our next level of existence.
Right.
And we're all, our journey is all to go back to oneness, to go back to oneness. We are making that journey back.
Mm-hmm.
It may take some of us a lot of lifetimes, but we're doing it. We have a lot of things to learn, a lot of things to gather, so we can get to the highest vibration. And the highest vibration is so high that we cannot hear it in this physical, in this incarnation. We can't hear it, that it has no physical form, that it is just, it is a vibration, and it vibrates so high we can't hear it. But that is what we're trying to get back to.
Right.
So we're learning lessons.
Yes.
People do past life regression. They wonder what they were in different lifetimes and things like that. It's all part of it.
Yeah.
It's all part of it. Some of us, this is not our first incarnation.
Right.
I know for me that I was told that I'm nearing the end of my incarnations,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. And when people have come into contact with me, they notice that they say I'm sort of old.
Also,
an old soul.
Yes.
And the old people, I call it the old people, but I always, as a child, loved sitting on the floor and listening to our elders.
Yes.
I felt like they had something to teach me, and they did. The stories they told, I learned so much, and I would be engrossed. All the other kids would be outside doing whatever. Not me. I was there listening to stories, and I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it because I needed to learn something.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
I'm on my journey, just like the rest of us, back to oneness. It is not the end all. It's over right. and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that body's over.
Right.
But the soul lives on.
Right. And the body is just, I consider the body like a vehicle, like my car. I mean, how many cars have I had? I mean, in my lifetime, I've changed cars, you know, okay. And when this car is done, it's done, you know.
That's
but we have a body. We are not our body. We are divine light. Mm-hmm. We are that high vibration. We're just evolving back to it. It's like we're going back to the oneness,
that's right.
back to the source. And we're right. all, that's what we, at our essence, we are source.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just evolving back to source. And so, I love your connection with nature, Gaia. Mother Earth is a living being.
Yes.
And when you connect to her, ground to her. I live in the wooded area too. I live in the Pocono Mountains. And I love going to the lake. There's a lake. Oh. 4 miles from here.
Oh, I love it.
I have my spot. I sit, I watch the sunset, and I'm just, mm-hmm. I'm there. I'm like, yes.
And it's refreshing to me when I sit out there. It's like a bath, like I'm bathing my soul.
Yes.
That's what I feel like when I sit out there. I feel like I'm sitting out here for enough time until I don't have to be thinking anything.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm just bathing. I'm spiritually bathing. That's what I like to think of it as. I'm bathing.
Spiritual bath. Yes,
that's what I'm doing. I'm out there, and it fills me up.
Yes.
I'm filled up, so I continue on the work. And I have my daily gratitude at night when I speak to my guides and my goddess and God that I am working with. And I think I'm going to share the story.
Okay.
I'm sharing a lot.
That's great. Awesome. Yes.
It's amazing because I'm just so amazed at what the universe does and all the synchronicities. Once you are open, it's a flood.
Yes.
It's a flood. And I had no goddess or God that I could speak to that would have a relationship with for guidance. I had plenty of guides.
Right.
And one night, I don't know what I do these deep meditations at night and my gratitude and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the word ocean, you know, ocean.
Okay.
Ocean. And the African goddess, one of the Orishas.
Okay.
And I didn't really, at the time, I had no information on her. I said, okay, I know she's an Orisha, but that's all I know.
Okay.
So I did some research and looked her up and all of the stuff. And then I started to talk to her in my meditations and build this relationship. And I had my altar where I would leave my gratitude offerings and things like that for her. And that same week, during a night, I had a vision. I woke up in the middle of the night, which I do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And in my room was just dark. The bedroom was dark. My husband was snoring, cats were running around, everyone was asleep.
Right.
And I look over at, I have a chair in my room, a massage chair.
Yes.
And I saw the image of the horned god, Kununas, over there.
Okay.
And I said, what is he doing here? Why do I need, and he just stood there. And then in my stomach, I got really, really sick. Like I was going to throw up sick and nauseous and everything.
Right.
And then it passed.
Okay.
And I asked someone who was a devotee of him, why do you think he appeared to me?
Right.
And she said, well, our earth is sick.
Mm.
And, you know, all the pollution and things like that. And he's trying to gather up awakened people to help heal the earth, to help.
Yes.
And me, everyone calls me the green thumb, the nature girl and stuff like that, because I am. I love gardening. I love plants. I have tons of plants. I love them.
Right. Right.
And I try to teach and foster, you know, how to, we could take better care of Mother Earth, of Gaia.
Yes.
And everything is living. Don't stick that nail in the tree. That's not good. The tree can feel it.
Right.
And so I accepted this mission. And have a relationship with him as well. So again, when I'm open, it's just a flood. of things that happen, of all these synchronicities.
Right.
And it's been a great experience.
Yes.
And, you know, I also use that knowledge to try to help others.
Yes.
I volunteered at my son's school with the garden, because I was the master gardener for their school until they pulled the program, but I was there. And those little kids, the elementary school kids, my son and daughter were at the same school until she went to middle school. But they loved getting their hands in the dirt. I mean, these little kids loved it. So loved. We talked about how we can get, when we give, we don't take more than we need.
Right.
And that we give back, we take care. We taught about how to take care, how to, you know, take, and that's enough. Don't overtake. And they listened. And they listened and they loved it. And they were so proud that they learned this information. I mean, but the littlest ones, we can have an effect with them. And it's not church, so to speak.
Right.
But it is something they're learning on a spiritual level.
Right.
That they're going to carry with them.
Right.
That little lesson, they're going to carry with them until adulthood. They'll remember, blah, 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 blah. So what we do does affect people.
Of course.
And it may have been my mission at that time to teach these kids to plant the seed in their bodies and their soul, so they can, maybe it'll grow in the future somehow. Right. Maybe they'll all have gardens or become involved with saving the environment or something like that.
I love what your quote, nature is your church.
Yes.
And love is your religion.
Yes,
and I'm like, okay, I'm taking that. Nature is my church. Mm-hmm. On a Sunday, I used to be, you know, when I was involved in church many years ago, Sunday I was there like from 8 to or something, you know. Now, on a nice Sunday, I'm at the lake.
Yep.
And that is my church. That is, I am so in touch I am so connected with source, with God, with all that is when I'm there, more so there. And then love, unconditional. And I love to put the word unconditional in front of that word. Unconditional love, that's my religion.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Because that, to me, that sums it up. That's why I use that quote.
I love it.
I go outside and I go into nature and I get my spiritual kick for the day, for that moment, whatever. I feel it. Everything that you can, like someone can, they think they're getting from being in the congregation or whatever, I'm getting from my natural congregation.
Exactly.
Birds are part of my choir and we're all right there, you know.
Yes.
And then
love. Yes.
Love, you know, in the world, this is so, I just can't watch. The news is so much.
I don't. It's been what is it? We're in 2019, so it has literally been 18 years. I have not watched at all.
Hate. And even, you know, it's in my town when we first moved here, I was the dreadlock person, one of the few people of color. So there were many that warmed up to me, but there were also those people who just didn't. But now, like, everyone knows me and it's not a problem. And there were some times where loving was really a struggle, and I had to really meditate hard and talk with my guides and learn how to love from a distance.
Send
that person light,
love and light. Send them love and light.
Send it to them, and understand that everyone is not on the same rung of the ladder, so to speak. Everyone's not off the same amount of road. So their journey is their journey, my journey is my journey.
Exactly.
And you have to love them where they are.
Exactly.
And that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because this recent election, there was so much chaos.
Right.
I mean, remember in our public library here, someone came into the library screaming hateful things at all the patrons. In the library. I mean, the police came and took him out, but he was screaming such hateful things. And I said, that's a person who deep down inside, he doesn't want to be that way. I know he doesn't. At right. his core, he doesn't want to be that way.
Right.
It's that right. he's not awakened. He's feeding off the hate.
Yes.
Because he's afraid. Anyone who does that, I think, who's yes. hateful like that, they it's are fear. Afraid. It's yes. fear.
Fear.
And fear, and because we, and those of us who may not be like that, but we give into that fear,
right?
We're just empowering them,
right?
And not allowing them to be loved or to right. give right. love,
right?
And that's hurting them. I mm-hmm. mean, love, you hear the phrase, love heals.
Oh, yes. True. Love is the only thing that will heal and transform. You know, it's that, you know, hate. You know, if you take that same energy of hate and, right. and you know, it's just gonna, it's not, nothing's gonna change.
No.
But when someone comes at you with that kind of energy and your energy in return is nothing but unconditional mm-hmm. love.
They can't fight.
It stops it in its tracks.
It's like putting out the flames.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Stops it in its tracks and then eventually it'll even transform.
That's right. It may yes. take time.
Yes.
But true. My mm-hmm. son, you know that song of What the World Needs is Love?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So my son decided to sing that for his, they have something at his school called town meeting, but the whole school gathers once a month and they present what they've been learning and do activities yes. and stuff like that. And I think it was last year.
Okay.
It was last year. It was last year. Yeah. He said he wanted to sing. I said, oh, really? Yeah. Because, you know, he and his father, we both sang.
Right,
so it's
right,
just
right.
great.
Awesome.
And I was there with my camera, my video recording, and he said, yes. What the world needs is love. And I cried.
Oh.
Because it was, he picked that. And yes. it was such, he picked that song on his own. Because he saw yes. it from, he remembered it from, he knows it from Boss Baby, the movie Boss Baby. It was in Boss Baby.
Okay.
I mean, not knowing that we know it from
right
day but
right.
I mean, he sang it and I cried, and so and some people said, you know, that is such amazing. Then I said, it's a synchronicity, because yes. we need that.
Yes,
we and someone needed to hear it.
Yes,
someone needed to hear it. That's why it was put into his soul for him yes. to sing, and he did a great job.
Yes,
and I felt that, because I love that song, and it yes. is so true. It was true back then. It yes. is true now.
Yes, yes.
And one yes. day we'll realize
yes.
that love is the answer. How many yes. songs have been written? Love heals. Yes. Love is the answer. What the world needs is love. Mm-hmm. All of this. Love will yes. find a way.
Yes.
It's so true. I mean, so true.
Yes.
We have fear that makes hate, and then we have love.
Yes.
You know, love. We are yes. all... one. We are all in this together. What one does affects the other. If you have your hand here, you chop yeah. off one finger, it's going to affect the rest.
Exactly.
You're not going to be able to use your hand the same way anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. Each of us affects the whole.
Right.
Each of us. Yes.
Right. And that's when I try to, you know, I try to speak those messages, because that's what I'm supposed to do in yeah. my books and my writings. Yes. When I meet people, when I talk to people, yes. things like that. And then spirits, the universe sends me people who need to hear the message.
Yes, this is true.
And I had to part ways. I mean, I am an ordained minister, a spiritualist minister.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to part ways with the spiritualist church because, again, it was another denomination that was limiting.
Mm.
And
okay, I hear you.
And some mm-hmm. of the things I could not stomach. You know, mm-hmm. this is not allowing what spirit has for me to do. I'm supposed to be right. helping people.
Right.
And when they stopped I mean, there was such things like, you can't talk today and blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. just nonsense. Yeah. I said, okay, you know, it's not for me. And when it was time.
Yes.
The universe gave me away.
Yes. Yeah, I've said since I left, which was in 2007, organized religion, mm. I say my religion is love. I love that you said, that's it. There's one, and I always try to put in the word unconditional, because some people don't understand the word unconditional.
Yeah,
not just don't. Love. My religion is unconditional
right.
love. There's no conditions surrounding my love. I love you because I know that at your core, you are a divine light, and so am I. And so if that's everyone I come across, I just have love.
You know, the yogic namaste.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I salute you, the highest, the divine right. within you.
Right.
I mean, that is so, so true. And that's yes. unconditional. It's yes. unconditional. It's like, I'm not just loving that inner you, that soul right. of you, because you're my friend.
Right.
No, just because you're divine.
We're yes, together. You're divine.
Yes.
And my, I think in me, the divine in me
yes.
bows to the divine in you. I think that's what the namaste. Yes.
Yeah.
The divine in me bows to the divine in you. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. everyone has that divine within. Yeah.
Because we're all part of the divine
oneness. Yes.
Divine oneness. Isn't that amazing? Isn't
yes.
that funny how, not funny, but it's the messages is there. It's all there.
Yes.
I mean, I know so many people who are they're like yoga
mm-hmm.
addicts. Yes. Not really knowing what it means.
Exactly.
and they go into class and namaste.
Yes, yes.
But they run you over in the parking lot. You know?
This is true. And because I touch upon this too because there are a lot of groups, especially online, talking about oneness. But sometimes mm-hmm. they forget that in the oneness, like, and I use the yin yang symbol as
yes.
as oneness, mm-hmm. which when you look at the yin yang symbol, it's equally black
yep.
and equally white. Mm-hmm. So not all, everything, even the things that we say are quote unquote, and I put air quotes around it because okay. it's what we label it. Even what we say is evil mm. is part of the oneness.
That's right.
Where people kind of, they're like love and light, all oneness, but when you say, yeah, but that murderer is a part of the oneness.
That's right.
That rapist
yeah.
is a part of the oneness.
Yeah.
There's no excluding. That's where they fall off track. You
yeah,
know?
We all have that shadow part. We all yes. have shadow parts.
Exactly. And the shadow, yes, you can't have one without the other.
That's right.
The shadow is just as equal as the light. And in God, all that is, my term for God is mm-hmm. all that is. All mm-hmm. that is loves it all.
That's right.
He loves the shadow as much as he loves the light.
That's right.
He loves it all because it's all him. Mm-hmm. It is all God. Mm-hmm. So it's not separate from God. So that understanding oneness at that core, that there is no, we label things, but they're true. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
And business is God. That's all that right. is.
All that is.
Yes.
Yes. And when we understand, I was once given a glimpse of all that is in a vision, and I felt my heart racing and my head, and they said, and my head was felt like it was swelling. And then right. the guides told me, if you were able to fully see and comprehend, fully understand it.
Yes.
You would not be able to handle it. You would explode.
Exactly.
Because it is the highest, the
yes.
all. And
yes.
we are not equipped yet.
Right.
Because yes. we're not up. We didn't get back
right.
to the oneness.
Right.
But we're on a journey there.
Yes. Yes. Very true. Very true.
So anyone who thinks yes. that they know the all, no, they don't. They wouldn't be here. They'll explode.
Right. Exactly. It can't be contained.
That's right.
Here.
Yes, right.
Definitely can't be contained here.
Right. We're not equipped yet.
No. Yeah. But I do believe humanity is awakening as a whole,
yes.
as a collective.
Yep.
I do believe. And we're living in great times. And actually, we're here. You and I and everyone here mm. right now actually chose to be here at this time
right.
to help in the awakening. Even those we think are still asleep, they're still here to help in the awakening.
And when they awake, they'll yes. They'll say, oh, yeah, I chose to be here.
Yes.
Because they don't know that right now because they're still yes. sleeping.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But when you awake, it's like a yes. switch.
Yes. Yes. You chose to be here for a unique purpose.
That's right.
And that's why, yes. And I love you are living your divine purpose. That's what you're doing. And I love to share that with the world. People, you know, that's why I invite people on the show, share your truth with the world and live your purpose. Now, please share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can find you, share your website, all that good stuff.
Well, there's one easy way. Actually, two easy ways. But the first one, they can just go to my website at CandiceNadineBreen.com. And that's all one word, CandiceNadineBreen.com. Okay. Or they can also, for much wider things of what I do, they can go to Magic with a K, M-A-G-I-C-K, and medicine.blogspot.com.
Okay.
But the link to Magic and Medicine is also on Candice Nadine Breen, so you can one lead to the other.
Okay, awesome. Very good. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with me today. It's been amazing. We have to connect because you're not too far. You're in Rhode Island. Yes. I don't know how far Rhode Island is from the Poconos, but we have to.
Yes.
We have to get together and connect for sure. Yes. Well, thank you so much for being my guest. I love having you. This has been an inspiring hour, and I love sharing this with our listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we shall keep in touch.
Yes.
Okay. Bye-bye for now.